Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is a beautiful day to come and worship the Lord together. Appreciate the brothers that shared the thoughts you shared. Thank you, brothers. Maybe before we begin, we could pray.
Let's pray.
Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the freedom, Lord, the ability, our able bodies. Thank you for the desire in our hearts to want to come to worship you today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the words that were shared this morning already. Hungering and thirsting, what is our appetite? Father, what our appetites are, we realize will determine if we get to experience the glory that awaits the believer. Father, you've given us a great responsibility, those of us that have experienced salvation through the blood of Christ. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take the words that were spoken already this morning and you would help them to penetrate deep in our hearts. Father, give me some thoughts to share, directed by your Spirit, that it could edify your people yet more, and that it would glorify you yet, Lord. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for being here with us. Lord, I do want to thank you also for allowing Gabriel to come home. I pray, God, that you would restore him to his health, Lord. And thank you for that wonderful blessing, Lord. Thank you for being here again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, we've already heard quite a lot. I was richly encouraged. thank you, brothers. We have definitely have enough we can go home with and chew on. It was good. I was thinking of a bit on, you know, when you have loved, if you yourself or your loved ones have some kind of ailment in health, you start thinking about your body a little more. You start, sometimes you start wondering what it needs and what's lacking and how much of this it needs. And so I was thinking of vitamins and our body uses 13 main vitamins to stay alive. A few of them it produces on its own, and the rest it gets through the food that we eat. Then I had the thought of I heard this from someone else, but what is the best vitamin for a person? For a Christian, it said. What is the best vitamin for a Christian? Do you know? To be one. You know, there's vitamin B, vitamin B2, B5, B12, all those B vitamins. So the best vitamin for a Christian is to be one. You know what? And that's actually what we heard this morning. Mark was telling us to be one. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's being one. If we're going to experience the glory that awaits the believer, we need to be one. And so that's some of the thought I was thinking on this message here. But I was thinking of how the body produces a few of its own vitamins. You know, there's in a spiritual analogy, there's the body, and it takes care of itself. It produces things that gifts takes care of each other here, build each other up. But the rest is gotten by the food that we eat, and in a very similar way. We can be there for each other, encourage one another, but we all have to go. We all have to have that hunger and that thirst. We have to go dig into the Word and get the rest of it on what we're eating. But as I was just thinking of being a real Christian, that's really God's heart for us, is that we aren't just professors, but we possess it. We actually live it. It's not just something we talk about. And so I was thinking of those vitamins, those B1. I was thinking of all the verses that come to my mind that started with B, or what God wants us to be. And I thought maybe you all could help me a little on just different scripture that comes to your mind, what God wants his children to be. Just for example, in Peter, we're called to be sober, be vigilant. Do you have any others that come to your mind? There's no age limit on this. Go ahead. Be kindly affectionate one to another. We read that this morning. Any others? Be holy. God says to be holy, for he is holy. Any others?
Be of one mind.
Any others? Be courteous.
Be transformed.
Be doers of the word. And it says, not hearers only. Someone else have something? Be merciful. Any others?
Be tenderhearted.
Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Any others? Another one in the verse that says to be transformed says to be not conformed. Saying something that God doesn't want us to be. Do you have another one? Be instant in season and out of season. Ready to preach the word. Any others? Be followers of me. We're called to be hospitable. That's what God wants us to be. It doesn't have to have the be in front of it, but that's what God wants us to be. Any others?
Be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply. Others? Say that. Be diligent. We can all consider all what God wants us to be. He calls us, Jesus calls us to follow him. He calls us to be salt and light. Really, he says that if we follow him, we are salt and light. But we're to maintain that walk because salt will lose its savor and we can dim the light. We're called to be laborers together. In Corinthians, we're called to be subject to higher powers. We're called to be patient. So those are some things that God would want us to be. But you know, I was thinking about, you know, thinking of a real Christian, because the reason I put in the term real Christian, I should just really say thinking of being a Christian. A Christian is really one that follows the Lord. But I put the term real in there because of too many people claim to follow the Lord. But all these things that God wants us to be are not important to them. They just want to experience what Zachary was talking about in Revelations, that glory that awaits us. But they don't want to live life here that way, in preparation, in a surrendered heart to the Lord, experiencing in part some of that glory here in the body. And so my burden is that we as a people live the Christian life for him in a real way, not just a profession. You know, because society has downplayed Christianity. You know, they profess it, but they don't possess it. I remember, I think it was Brother Denny, he was on an airplane, and they had a younger college student sitting beside him, and his nature is just to talk to him, you know, and ask witness to him. And so he asked her if she's a Christian. She said, oh, yeah. And then he's like, okay, so there's more to this. So he said, are you a real Christian? And she's like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, like one that loves the Lord and one that obeys his word and just loves to follow him. One of those. And she's like, well, no, I'm not one of them. No. And that's where the term real Christian comes to my mind is society, that's what it's about largely. This world will use the term Christianity for its own benefit. However, it's not living it. It's not living it. It's they want to claim eternal life. They want to claim that glory that Zachary was talking about, but they don't want to die to self and live for his glory. So I am going to, I probably won't have a real long message because Zachary pretty much covered what I was going to talk about this morning. He said, let's read Romans 12. And that was the scripture I was going to read is Romans 12. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk briefly about a few verses. I just won't cover all of them probably because he did a good job. There's some points that I had that he didn't, but so we're going to read, we're going to go through there a few verses here. Thinking of being a Christian, thinking of being a follower of the Lord Jesus, and also, you know, keeping in mind everything that was shared with us today already, hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, after God, and also living for Him. And, you know, He is faithful. He'll reward justly. There's a reward for us as well, but serving Him for His glory. And so I'm going to start here in verse 1, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That verse just speaks of worship to me. And Paul here is begging them. I beseech. Beseech means to beg. I'm begging you. I'm begging you, brethren, that you see this by the mercies of God. Before that, he's trying to convince them that we are Gentiles. You're grafted in. You weren't the chosen ones as far as being the people of God from the past there. But through Jesus Christ, we're grafted in. And it is only a reasonable service. A reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That only makes sense. When Christ did what he did for us, you know, it only is reasonable. It's only sensible. You know, he's our creator, our God, our savior. It's only sensible for us to give our lives in return to him. It's a living sacrifice. Zachary touched on being dead sacrifices in the past, but this is an ongoing, living for him sacrifice. Denying ourselves and walking and living with and for him. Verse 2 tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? He says we need to be transformed, not conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. This way we can have discernment. This way we can understand what the perfect will of God is for us. And Zachary gave us the picture of the transfiguration. For the word transformed there, another picture for us would be metamorphosis, which would be like when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and then it goes through that process there, and then when it comes out a butterfly, that metamorphosis, it's transformed, it's completely changed. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And trying to think, it might be Jeremiah. It tells us that he wants to remove that stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. That's what God wants to do with us when he transforms us. But I was thinking of being not conformed to this world. What does that look like? And just a couple areas I was going to touch on what it could look like in not being conformed. The first way come to my mind was we live in a prosperous community, and it seems like everybody's busy. It seems like a lot of people are making a lot of money, and you see it by their lifestyle. But then, as I sit back and listen to the stories throughout the community, and you have maybe you have this businessman that he'll have the reputation. Oh no, you don't want to work with him because he's greedy. He won't pay you. He'll withhold part of your funds, and just the list goes on. Or he's a really hard guy to work for. Thank you. The list just goes on, but friends, you know, if we do business that way, that's worldly. That's worldly because it's opposite of what God teaches us. It's opposite of what Jesus has taught us in His Word. We're taught to not be greedy. We're taught to be content. We're taught to be fair to our employees. We're taught also, you know, this is in that context of talking about slaves, but you could also put in employers. We're taught to give them 100% of our effort. That's what they're paying us for. But all too often, these are worldly ways, ways that we conform to this world. Maybe some of our business associates are murmuring and complaining, you know, and we get caught up in it. God forbid, because that's conforming to the ways of this world. Greediness is the way of this world. We used to, as children, we used to pass some time at certain events when we couldn't get up and run around. We'd pass time where we'd take our hands and, you know, intertwine them like that and see who could keep their hand on the top. You know, so it was really going fast. But that's how the world goes through life, is to try to get to the top. It doesn't matter who I step on, how far I push him down, don't matter who I hurt, who I steal from, those things don't matter. I have a dream I want to live. I want this house. I want this farm. I want this car. I want this much money. I want new clothes. Whatever it is, it's my drive. Oh, maybe it's prestige. Maybe it's what I want people to think of me. That's how this world functions, doing whatever they can to get to the top, no matter who they have to step on. But we're called to not conform to this world. But you know, we can get caught up in that aspect of just simply being ashamed to be different. Being at the workplace and everybody else is complaining. Everybody else is murmuring. All the other employees are not satisfied with their wage. And by the way, the guy is pretty wealthy. He could pay us a little more. What would have hurt him, really? The ways of the world. Being conformed to this world. Ashamed to be different. God wants us to be a thankful people, to live in contentment. We don't have to, another aspect, we don't have to be ashamed if we're not making as much as the next guy. It's all right. That's not something I have to be ashamed of. I'm called to live for Christ. I'm called to live a life of contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's people out there that tell you that God wants to bless you, and that's godliness. If you're prosperous, that's God blessing you. That's godliness. He's with you. I'm not saying God isn't allowing that to happen. He is. However, that doesn't make you godly. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. That's your gain. Or that's great gain. You know, we have to remember, we didn't bring anything into this world. And when we die, we're not taking anything out of this world. Taking nothing with us. Let's not be conformed to the world around us. We are different than the earthly kingdom. We're in a heavenly kingdom. And you know, by living that way, by not being ashamed to live in this heavenly kingdom, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, by not being ashamed of that, we'll experience many blessings that this world can't experience. The peace, the joy. there's even a security there that God allows us to experience within a body even. There's a strength there. But this earthly kingdom can't experience all those things. We function different in this heavenly kingdom. We have a different set of principles we go by.